correspondence study about.
The whole purpose of weakness, affliction, suffering, whatever you want to call it, is so that slowly but surely, instead of even giving it any breath, you dwell on Him. Weakness brings you to revelation. Weakness brings you to dependency. Weakness brings you to obedience. It's everything that you hate is what God uses for His purposes. And so the reason that we are looking at weakness is for that purpose. Now, in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Now remember, this word fainting is an internal thing. It means to quit abiding in your mind and go to a solution or to another source or to another option or to an ace in the hole. It's a mental idea that we really don't have a word for or a way to describe easily. And so the fainting process happens every single time that you judge another person, that you get leave peace. To me, it's the greatest enemy of the mystery of the cross is quitting in your mind. And the reason you quit in your mind, you say, is that you forget. Or the stimulus that caused the affliction or the weakness or whatever it was greater than the memory of the revelation of Christ. The reason we're spending so much time on this is so that you can see and know the danger of fainting, of quitting in your mind, the constant thing is that if you have a statement and somebody doesn't pay attention to it, you quit in your mind. I'll show them. I'll just quit. Does everybody know what I mean? Quitting in your mind. It's the greatest enemy of regeneration that there is, because it brings everything back into the kingdom of darkness. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is your flesh. The inner man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is ever renewed. He is ever eternal. He is never subject to the vagaries of life. And then Paul says this incredible thing that trumps anything that we've ever gone through. It trumps our discomforts. It trumps anything that you can conceive of. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now let's take a look at his light affliction. Go to 1 Corinthians, I think, 6.
6.
No, 4. verse 8. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. He's being a little satirical here. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Now, again, he's talking about his light affliction. It's so light, it's not hardly worthy of mention. In fact, he apologizes for it. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even under this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now, and let's go to second, back to 2 Corinthians 11. I want to show you something else. Verse 23. He's comparing these people like Corinthus and others who were preaching the gospel of success.
Chapter 11, 23.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked. And nakedness, besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, again, this is what Paul called his light affliction. It trumps anything that we can conceive of. And remember, every invention that has been made since this has been to have comfort, to have air conditioning, to have lights, to have everything, he knew nothing of. And yet he calls his afflictions, his sufferings, so light they're not worthy of mention. Anybody have any response? And yet in those he didn't faint in his mind. Anybody have any reaction? What's going on, Harry? You're boiling inside.
It's tough.
Huh?
It's tough. It's not easy.
It's not easy if you don't go to war with yourself.
No, it's not easy if you do go to war with yourself. It's not an easy road.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you see him, it's the easiest thing there is to do. There's nothing about the mystery of godliness that's difficult. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. If you don't see him, if you're living in a me-centered world, then everything is difficult. And again, the process is not to quit in your mind. That's what the predicate of these light afflictions that I just enumerated. Not quitting in your mind. No, but none of you have ever quit in your mind, right? I didn't think so. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The glory that's not time dependent, that's not situation dependent, because it's eternal. The gift of God today is eternal life, a life not lived with respect to time. Again, giving breath to anything that denigrates with time is worshiping the wrong God. And he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If we could see, if the veil is off our eyes, then wherever we look, we see Christ is all and in all. We see all is finished. We see all is perfect. We see the New Jerusalem. I think sometimes when I talk about the New Jerusalem and how that's where we are, in the temple, in the New Jerusalem, seated on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, that place that's called the Oracle of God, I think you think I'm talking about a fairy tale. Everything, time, is just moving through the temple from the west gate and out the east gate. And everything, if you can see yourself seated with Him, it destroys everything that would cause you to faint. Because the stimulus is so overpowering. It so burns up all those other habit patterns and neuron paths that cause these behavior that is harmful to you. Now let's go to the right. One, go to 2 Corinthians 5.
I'm there.
And again, remember the word reconciliation. God has reconciled. Let's go to verse 21 first. Verse 18. And all things are of God. Now, is there anything that you can conceive of then that if it says all things are of God, is there anything that you can conceive of then that's not of God? And if all things are of God and we are to confess the Lord Jesus or to confess Him, then we see the same thing is. Isn't it easier to see that everything is perfect than it is to see wherever you look, you see something wrong? Isn't it easier? Isn't it easier on your whole psyche? Aren't you tired of poisoning the temple with judgments and complaints? It's just crazy. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by or in Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation isn't a process. It's an eternal fact. It's an exchange of His life for yours. And if you're not interested in making that exchange, then you're wasting your time. But if you're going to exchange this body of sin and death for His body of perfection, then you can't give this body of sin and death or the mind or the things that you think about, or they can't have any more importance. You can't give them any breath because the only thing you're giving breath is God. Your love, you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, that's true, except for this whole bunch of things over here that I think are wrong. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by or in Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you to us. Beseech you by us, excuse me. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, in the place of Christ. The only place of Christ is this place of perfection, of finishedness, of beauty, of awe, of everything you can conceive of. Why restore? Why would you neglect so great a salvation to return to the weak and beggarly elements of your mind and your ideas and your thought processes? Why would you neglect this? You're in His stead. You're in Him. The prepositional phrase "in Christ" is used over 200 times in the Bible. We can talk a lot about Christ in you. That's wonderful. But in order to get the full apprehension of it, you have to see that you are in Him. Do you see the subtleties of that? It's not subtle, but I mean, if you don't know you're in Him, then you're in this mess you're in. And the only way, the way we're constructed, the way we're hardwired, the only way that this will be manifested is in your weakness. Because in your strength, you will be deceived. And you, I promise you, you will adulterate the mystery of God. Because you don't really believe it, and you'll have to have your belief cemented by having other followers or other people to... And so you'll try to talk people into something so that it'll give credence to your own unbelief or your belief of a false gospel. It's so massive, so wonderful, so complete, so perfect. It's like... Do you somehow consider it a light thing that you've been called out of all of the world? Would you be faithful if you were the only one left? Can you see why it's critical that you see and apprehend that for which you have been apprehended? That you, and if you don't see it, if you don't want it, if something else is tugging at you, then go run quickly and go after the thing that's tugging you, so that you can see that it is corruption, it is vanity, it is empty. Weakness is what brings us to revelation. Weakness is what brings us to dependence. Affliction is what brings us to the place of being conformed to His image. The purpose of time and space is antagonism to this seed, to this mystery, to this truth. That's why the evidence you believe another gospel is that you think weakness or suffering is strange. But something is wrong when things aren't going the way you think they should go. And every word of this Bible testifies of this. Every parable of the Old Testament, every type, every trope, every subtle mystery of what it happened and what happens, and every possible situation that you can be in is fulfilled by His offering. There is no situation that you can be in where something is going on with you. And until that transference occurs, until you see that there has been an exchange, that you've been reconciled to God in Christ, and Christ in His fullness is in you, then you're going to be just deceived on a constant 24-hour-a-day basis. Every once in a while, you get a little ray of light. But it's so simple. His yoke, his burden, his yoke is easy, or his yoke is light and his burden is easy, whatever it is. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. The instant that there's the slightest weight on you, that's the signal of the Holy Spirit to return to Him. It's okay, Harry. Don't worry about it.
It's driving me crazy. It's all right. It's crazy. Can't help
it. Can you just taste for a moment the perfection, the finishedness? I pray that you can. Anybody have any response? Tom, what are you doing?
Oh, I just said amen. That's all.
You're cogitating in something.
I said some things that are worth cogitating.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Predicate of everything and every aspect of your life. I shall not want anything to be different than it is. I shall not. It's. You gotta, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. All of the other shepherds have led me astray. All the other voices have only produced corruption. All righty, take it, big guy.